We can be so identified with being a mum, but we have to remember that we're more than that and we have our own lives. And it might sound cliche because you hear it everywhere, but your cup must be full for yourself to be able to give fully to your kids, to your family, to your work.
Welcome back to This Little Life, an impromptu and lively discussion diving into the big and little issues of parenting and beyond. Motherhood is an incredible journey filled with rewarding moments. But let's face it, the daily hustle can sometimes leave us feeling, well, certainly less than glamorous. And our guest today, Lacey Saville, wants to change that. As an image coach and stylist, she is passionate about mums regaining their identity and self-confidence post-kids. And with the start of the new year just ahead of us, it's the perfect time to explore practical tips on how we can build back-to-work confidence for busy mums. So grab your favourite cup of coffee, find a cozy spot, and let's kick off the new year in style. Because when we look and feel good, everything else starts to fall into place. So join me as Lacey shares tips for building back-to-work confidence and style for busy mums. We also walk through our own motherhood journey and how that's shaping her work. So Lacey, welcome and thank you for joining us today. We've had the pleasure of speaking before and meeting at our Perth event a few months back. And then as a mum and a business owner myself, I love your passion for supporting mums and, you know, through how they look and how that makes them feel ultimately. So I'm really interested to know, though, where did this all kick off and how did you find yourself in this particular profession?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me here. I'm really excited about this conversation and most conversations in general around this, because the confidence thing I didn't really take on until about 3 years ago, but I've been a stylist for 11 years. So it all started with a passion to help women find clothing that they feel good in. Mm-hmm. Really simple, really basic, which then as a young 21-year-old, when I sort of made these moves, I started working with women and taking them shopping. And I was really confused about when I took them shopping, all they would talk about is their fat arms or their fat tummy or their bum and all these things that they didn't like about themselves. And being so young, I didn't quite know how to close that gap, but it really stuck in my mind because I didn't see those women in that light. But I very much know how real it felt for them. So it wasn't until 6 years later when I discovered Louise Hay and mirror work that I then dove into a new tool, how I could help these women really close that gap with how they view themselves, changing the stories that they tell themselves, and then they can actually find the clothing that they love and that they're inspired by. So it was a bit of a journey to get there, but now it just makes so much sense to me. And I truly believe that every woman knows what to wear when we get rid of all the stories and all the rules that we carry and put on ourselves.
Because it really is a journey of psychology in a way, isn't it? Because, you know, we talk about, you know, it's not just, you know, I'm sure people dismiss a lot of this conversation around, well, it's just, you know, clothes and putting clothes on and how does that, you know, surely there's not a lot of substance to that. But there's so much more to it, isn't there? Because the reality is you're bridging that, you know, like you said, the voices in your head and the reality that plays out and how that affects them in the real world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm really interested around that kind of connection or that crossing over of, you know, becoming a mum, because obviously you're not just a professional businesswoman, but you're also a mum. So you know kind of how the anxiety that comes with going back to work. So where, you know, how does what you're doing now help that new mum in terms of that kind of big leap in getting that confidence back to getting back into the workplace?
Yeah, and I really do believe clothing is a huge part of that. It is dismissed, and a stylist back in the day was seen as quite a luxury, a luxury to have. But it's just like a PT or just like anybody else that you would enlist into to help you on a journey. Clothing is a part of our identity, and I feel really lucky to have these tools because I haven't hit that slump so much being a new mum. But the thing is, over a decade working in this space, I know how much it affects mums in this space of this loss of identity. Mm-hmm. And the way it closes that gap is, I love the word that you used in connection, because I believe it's how we connect with our clothes. You know, you hear women say sometimes, oh, I'll just wear this old thing to work. I'll just chuck this on. And you're worth more than that. You're worth more to be able to pick something out of your wardrobe, put it on and feel amazing wearing it. For me right now, like I'm wearing leopard print, and that's something that really I connect to, that lights me up, that makes me feel confident for whatever I'm doing to be here today and speak to you guys. And that's what's really important when it comes to getting back into work or getting back into life after having a baby, how you connect with that. Sure, it's easy just to chuck on the active wear to get out of the house for the day or put on your black pants and a white top with a black blazer and go to work and maybe hired to conform and fit in with everybody else in the office. But are you feeling good wearing that? If the answer is yes, great. I'm glad you found that. But if it's not, then you need to find those things to connect to. And that's a lot in my work. It's not about putting the clothes on and just, oh yeah, that looks great. Oh, I'll wear that. It's how does it make you feel when you wear that? Because you're right. When we look good and we think we look good, we feel good and we make good decisions for the day. So this was what can increase the productivity at work or increase your love for life and how you want to carry out your day. So yeah, it's really, I believe it's really important what we put on our body and how we want to include that part of identity to show up in the world.
And I think that's the point, isn't it? I mean, just reflecting back on where, you know, when I had my first daughter, Olive, you're working in the corporate world and then you know, everything's structured and on your clock. And when you want to go to work, you go to work. And when you want to have a shower, you have a shower. And when you want to do your hair, you do your hair. When you want to go out, you go out. And then you have a baby. And it is, well, everything is just gone. You just, you know, you're at the whim of this child. I think there were days where I didn't shower for 4 days. I think I lived in pajamas for the first probably 8 weeks of Olive's life. But, you know, I always remember a colleague of mine saying, you know, when she'd had two children before, like her going back into the workforce was really, you know, a scary time for her. And I remember at the time when I had it, I don't understand that. Like, don't you just go back to work and it all kind of all fits into place and stuff? But it doesn't, does it? I mean, you've got so many women, and you know, we were talking earlier about the stats, you know, like 90% of women feel heightened anxiety about the thought of going back to work after they've had a baby. I mean, is that something that you see with the people, with the mums that you work with? I mean, is that stat accurate?
Absolutely. I think that stat's accurate for life. There's three sort of phases in life that women tend to lose themselves. And one of them, you know, is this new mum phase. A second one is when the kids leave home and then they're on their own again, because we can be so identified with being a mum, but we have to remember that we're more than that and we have our own lives. And it might sound cliche because you hear it everywhere, but your cup must be full for yourself to be able to give fully to your kids, to your family, to your work. And we do fill a lot of our human needs in what we do for work, whether it be our own business or it be going back to work. If it's something we love doing, it fulfills some of our basic human needs. But what holds us back in that, like you said, is the anxiety. Well, our anxiety comes from the stories we tell ourselves. It's our ego side, which, to get, you know, into the specifics a little bit, it's this, the ego is that voice in your head that is so negative, that really sits on your shoulder and tells you everything negative on why not to do something or why not to leave the house for the day. And that's where we really have to stop and check ourselves. And that's why I use the mirror work as a tool with my clients, which basically, if for anyone that doesn't know, it's really just looking in the mirror and having a really heart-to-heart conversation with yourself. Because honestly, when was the last time you looked into the mirror and looked at yourself without criticizing yourself? You know, that's a really big question that I like to prompt.
Never. Because,
yeah. It's usually what we do. It's our go-to, and it's fine. That's our culture in society. So it is in our society. So nobody's at fault, but it's really about being more self-aware to pick up on those little things that come up, because they're the things that run your day or run your life, run your decisions to go back to work or to not go back to work. And if you really love it, You know, you might just have to have some bigger conversations at home. You may need to go buy a couple of new things for the wardrobe that make you feel good, but it's not going to break the budget. You need to allow for that, because that's what's going to make you feel good. It's going to make you be a better person, a better mom, and have a better flow about you, rather than being somebody that listens to those voices, feels anxious, is snappy, is upset, and then the emotions roll on from that because we get caught in that hole, in that trap, and just start spiraling.
Mm. I thought what was interesting you said before was that, you know, if you feel good about yourself, you're making better decisions, because one of the other things we're exploring ahead of this podcast was obviously this new report that's out that says that that women are actually the most productive. Working mums are the most productive in the workplace. And yet, you know, back to that original stat we talked around 90% feel such high anxiety about going back to work. They're not, you know, they're not going to be able to do a good job, or they don't feel like they're, you know, they can do it. And yet when they get into the workplace, they're formidable. Where does that conversation that you have with your clients around that? I mean, is there a lot of coaching, presumably? I mean, you're not just telling them what to wear. I mean, you're giving that confidence, get back in the workplace and do it with gusto and confidence. You know, what are some of those stories that you see with women as you kind of work with them that they have to work through that little person on their shoulder, as you say? You know, what are you hearing? What are the tools and the recommendations and advice that you're giving them?
Well, the mirror work is a big part. So being able to use that wherever you are, you know, you've got a camera on your phone, you've got mirrors in your car, got mirrors in the toilets at work, being able to check into that conversation that's going on and really get honest with yourself. Because the way that we connect is looking at each other's eyes. Even when you're on social media watching reels or whatever it may be, you're looking at other people's eyes, and you may be checking them out and judging them as well, as a side fact, but the really connecting that way. So that's to bring the connection back in, to stay true to yourself and really build the relationship with yourself. But the reason that working mums are so productive when they're in there is because they've got strong values. Mm-hmm. Like, their top value is probably family. You know, having that family value in there means they're working for something. They're doing this for a bigger reason than themselves. And in order to do well at something, we must have a bigger why than ourselves, because that keeps us going and keeps us working towards that. And you're right. When I work with my clients, it's a lot of accountability. In a moment where you're about to get out of the car and walk in to the office, or you're about to walk into a new event or a new thing, and that fear comes up and the nerves are there and things are swirling around, you're like, uh-oh, and you need to just message somebody. And that's where my clients message me, and I get to remind them that in the body, scientifically, when we feel nerves and we feel those nerves riddling our body, it is exactly the same when we look at it on a screen from medical professionals. The exact same thing happens in the body when we feel excited. So two different emotions, exact same things happening within the body. So if we can just take a breath through that nervous feeling to regulate the nervous system, then we can start to rethink about why we're doing this for ourselves, to feel good and meet those needs, for our family, to provide an income, to whatever that why might be. We get to slow down the nervous system to re-pick up that reason of why, and then get excited about walking into that and doing that. And it takes courage. But when we start to rewire these patterns and stories in our brain, that step becomes easier and easier and easier, because we've created consistency, we've got courage, and we're doing it over and over and again.
So you've mentioned it a couple of times. Sorry, I'm just going to get you to kind of go and give us a little bit more detail about this mirror, the mirror concept that you talk about. Help me explain that, because that sounds really interesting.
Yeah. So mirror work, the first time I discovered this was at quite a low point in my life where I didn't know where I was going. This was before having Brooklyn, my baby. It was discovered by Louise Hay, and Louise Hay wrote a process on this, and she's no longer with us. But I then tapped into other resources that talk about this sort of mirror work. And I'm writing a book to actually collate all this learnings that I have to be able to put it out into the world, helping women to implement mirror work, because we're not all the same, and it takes different forms to really understand it. Mel Robbins is another one who does the high five habit, which is basically high-fiving yourself in the mirror. So there are a couple of different ways to do it. But as I said, it's really a general conversation that you have with yourself in the mirror. So for me, my practice is first thing in the morning when I get out of bed, I walk straight to that mirror. I allow myself to have a few deep breaths to really come into my body. And I simply start by saying, "Morning, Lacey, how are you? How are you feeling today? You're feeling tired. It's been a hard night. Didn't get much sleep. I understand that. You're okay." So I move into a space of being able to parent myself. So be my best friend and really build that relationship with myself, knowing that whatever happens in the day, I've got my back. I am there. I can rely on myself. I can trust myself. I am going to get through the day. And being able to have this touch point then to check in with the mirror whenever anything pops up in the day, I reinforce that connection with myself. Because really at the end of the day, you can't rely on anybody. Even though we've got partners or husbands or friends or really close family, you can only rely on yourself at the end of the day. So being able to get this tool, embody this tool and have it to rely on, then makes you not feel so alone when these things come up. It just gives you a process on how to really process what comes up in the brain and those stories that come up, rather than listening to every single thought and running with it. Because the voice that comes up and tells us a story or tells us that we're not good enough or that we can't do something, we can. We don't have to listen to that thought. It is a choice.
Oh, it's phenomenal, isn't it? And I mean, it's so prevalent for new mums, do you know? Like we like I said, you kind of have this well-ordered life and then children come along and everything goes out the window and then you don't really know yourself. And, you know, there's a lot of that kind of, you know, negative thinking and voices that you hear the whole way through. And I regularly talk to mums who, you know, talk around the, you know, that first phase of becoming a mother and the uncertainty and the imposter syndrome and the, you know, all the things that went up and, you know, go up mm-hmm. and down about it. And I understand, I mean, you know, share to the point that you feel comfortable, but I understand that when you had Brooklyn as well, you had a really hard, you know, introduction or a hard 8 weeks, as we call it, in the first instance. You know, is that something, you know, perhaps you can help us understand what that you went through there?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, even when I think about it, I'm quite a visual person. I can really transport myself back there. It was the hardest 8 weeks of my life, not really understanding what it's like to have no sleep, even from like the big nights out that I had before in my 20s or nothing compared to these first 8 weeks. And as you know, I had a struggle with my milk supply, and these conversations were really hard to have with myself in the mirror work, mm-hmm. but I had to know that I was okay. And it still was really challenging for me at that point to do my mirror work, because the guilt riddled me that my body could not produce enough milk to keep my child alive. That was the story I was telling myself.
Yeah.
Why can't my body produce enough milk to keep my baby alive? This is what I was meant to do. I have the baby here. Why can't I do this? And it had nothing to do with me. I really had to take a step back and go, the priority here is that Brooklyn is fed and Brooklyn is happy. Mm. But I made it so much about myself. My ego made it so much about me.
And a failure to be able to do it.
Yeah, the failure that I felt, like there was so much there. And then, you know, the first time we tried formula, we ended up going to the emergency room because she had blood in her stools, and I was really concerned about that, which then helped me to understand that she could just have an allergy to cow's protein. And then that's when I met you and we started using Little Oak, and everything was great after that. But It did take me 2 weeks to really understand that it's okay that I felt that way, and that it's okay that the milk isn't there, because I have a solution.
Mm.
And it was great to have that solution. But it probably, I'll take the word probably out, it went on a little bit longer than it could have, because I was so caught up in feeding, in breastfeeding my baby.
Mm.
So we had sleep trouble. She was, because she was hungry.
Hungry.
And it breaks my heart to understand that. But that's the change that can be made. And we don't have support for women, for mums as new mums. The support goes up into the lead up to the birth and understanding how to have this great birth and blah, blah, blah. But that support in the early stages, after you've had your midwife at home, there's not a lot there. And I understand that there may not even be a budget to actually help get that support as well. The thing is to remember is no matter how tired we can feel as new mums, there are so many resources out there on social media. And I learned a lot on YouTube, even just about creating routine, which we started at 6 weeks because we weren't getting any sleep and yeah. We were having so many challenges, sleeping, feeding. You know, she would be on me for 2 hours feeding.
Mm.
It was crazy. And this is a similar experience for many new mums, I do understand. So it's about having more of these conversations, right? So these new mums don't feel so alone and that there is solutions out there to really help in that, navigate that.
And, you know, like you said, you're not alone. I mean, we have, you know, even, well, you've met Belinda who works for a similar situation, you know, couldn't breastfeed. My twin sister couldn't breastfeed, felt such pressure from the institution, if you like, that breastfeeding was the only thing you had to, you know, you cannot fail with your breastfeeding, to the point where, you know, A, the child was sort of not thriving. Belinda and Felicity alike were not thriving because, you know, they had their child was always crying and hungry and, you know, and then they find a solution. But, you know, in many ways, the damage is already done for the mum. Do you know, the mental kind of trauma and the scars left behind that is a longstanding issue that I don't think we give enough kind of recognition to. And, you know, that, like you said, there's lots of help out there if you can access it, but there's not a lot in those critical moments when, you know, to your point, when you just accept that maybe, you know, and you're not having a lot of people saying, well, just, you know, you have friends going, well, put them on formula, but you've already heard so much about that formula is so bad, you know, and but you know, we have to give mums that, you know, that space, I suppose, to kind of, you know, relieve that guilt that they, you know, will feel. And I love that, like, in this journey, to your point, we talked about before, it's not about clothes. There's so much around this that makes this, you know, part of the journey of mothering and coming back into yourself and your life, you know, whether that's a continuing to stay as a stay-at-home mom or taking that step into going back to work and juggling
yeah.
life and babies and all those things and the person that you are, you know, not just, you know, not just a mum and not just a colleague at work, but, you know, this whole rounded person. And like you said, a lot of that comes down to feeling good about yourself, you know, which is...
It does. And that feeling good about yourself also comes back to what you put in your world. Like maybe you can't access somebody to really help you one-on-one, but for me, I thought about, as I was pregnant, about to give birth, what things are really going to support me in me living out this life that I want? So what am I putting in my social media? Who am I following? Are they people that I look at and judge for their style or judge for their lifestyle? Like, that's not healthy to have in that field. What is something that I know are my non-negotiables every day that is going to support me once baby is earthside? And that was really, I had to be really intentional about that because I know that without the skills that I did have there and the tools and the resources that I could have to pull on and dive into, I would have got completely consumed in those first 8 weeks into the rabbit hole. But that's why these conversations are important and to set yourself up for success.
Absolutely. So I suppose that does lead me onto my next question around, you know, for, you know, mums out there listening, what is your advice to them if they are looking at or considering going back into the workforce? What are those kind of, you know, couple of tips that you would give them around overcoming that apprehension or anxiety that they might have?
Absolutely. So I always say the first step is getting into your wardrobe. Now, I used to love this, like you said, before babies, I used to spend about 2 hours every 3 months playing dress ups in my wardrobes, creating outfits, cup of tea, glass of wine, music on.
Oh,
really,
my God,
I'm getting
you over. You're gonna come over to Sydney and get me sorted out. I think I said that to you when I met you in Perth.
Yeah. And it was a great process, but you can do this within 10 minutes. If, again, you start this process taking 3 big deep breaths, again, scientifically proven to calm the nervous system, 3 big deep breaths to get into yourself, open your wardrobe and start a yes-no process. Yes, I like it. No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. You can easily cull out the things that don't light you up. So this is a great first step, because if you're going back to work, especially, where do you start your day? You get out of bed, you've got to get to that wardrobe and get dressed. And if you open that wardrobe and you're like, oh, that doesn't fit me. Oh, I hate that print. Oh, that's a bad memory. Oh, I don't like that anymore. And that's how you're starting. You're going to put on something and not feel good anyway, because you've already started that process. So you need to eliminate the clothing in there that doesn't make you feel good and that doesn't fit, so that you can then wake up to the wardrobe and go, oh, this is so exciting. What do I want to wear today?
I love it. You know? It's so true though, isn't it? Like when you know that there's a great dress in there that you want to put on the next day, you're kind of excited about your day. It's so crazy. Yeah. I'm going to do this.
And then the next step to that as well is sometimes women will look at these beautiful dresses and go, oh no, I'll stand out too much at work. Or, oh no, I don't want to wear heels because nobody else is wearing heels. And that's where we have to really pick up in those moments as well, because if it's going to make us feel good, we're going to have a great day. We're going to look at it, catch our reflection and be like, oh my goodness, yeah, I'm wearing that dress. That's right. You know, we actually, in those moments, we'll compliment ourselves rather than put all that weight and heaviness on ourselves. So that is a really great step. And you can do that in 10 minutes. So even if the baby isn't sleeping or you've got multiple children, 10 minutes, just get it done. Put a timer on. Don't even wait any longer doing that. The second step is to create a gallery in your phone. Use it, or you can use Pinterest, or if you're like me, you want to create it on an A3 card, get a magazine, cut out some pictures, but basically collate some imagery of how you want to look, mm-hmm. what sort of styles you like, what sort of colors you like, what sort of patterns light you up. Do you like bold accessories? Do you like no accessories? Really start to build that identity around what do I like? And we can get consumed in that process again by going, oh no, I can't wear that. I'm too fat to wear that. Or, oh, I've got nowhere to wear that dress. Okay, maybe this, you know, say quite glamorous dress you find that you really love, and maybe you wouldn't wear that to work. Okay, but look at the details. Does it have some ruffles? Does it have, is it pink? Is it a particular color that you just are drawn to? And when we create this gallery or this board of imagery, it's not about finding all those items in there and buying them new or whatever it may be, or recreating the outfits. It's actually about using that as inspiration. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to creating your outfit or going shopping or whatever it may be, you're inspired by that to create your look and put that together for yourself. So it may come out in a color in a handbag or a lipstick or a nail color rather than a full colored dress in that color. And my third tip to that as well is go shopping without your phone or credit card. And what I mean by shopping is I mean just let yourself run free for a moment, get the kids babysat for half an hour, go into a shop, allow the stories to drop from your mind and be in a childlike state to be able to go and explore and use the shopping center as your dress ups. Because this allows you to try on different cuts and styles that you may not have tried before, different colors, different prints, to start that process in understanding what you do like and how you do want to look and how you do want to be portrayed in the world, in your workplace, without actually having to pay for it. Maybe you do really like something, but you can always go back and buy it. You don't have to feel that instant gratification of getting it straight away. So they would be my top three tips: getting into the wardrobe for that 10-minute audit, really creating some imagery around how you want to be portrayed, what sort of style you want as part of your identity, and three, getting into the shops without spending anything.
I love that. Is it possible though? To get to the shops and not spend anything?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm going to try that one. I like that. But I presume that, you know, that advice holds true for, you know, someone going back to work or just a new mum. I mean, who's decided to stay at home as well, right? I mean, I suppose we, you know, don't have to live in tracksuit pants for the rest of our lives if we decide to stay, you know, as a stay-at-home mum, which in of itself is an entirely honourable, you know, profession of itself. So, you know, does your advice change at all? I presume not, but...
No, not at all. And just on that as well, if you actually Google what the wage would be of a mum, it's $292,000, right? So if you're a stay-at-home mum, that is your job, correct? And there is if we had to put a number on it, that is the number. So absolutely, if you feel comfortable and alive and in flow and anxiety-free and happy wearing trackies or active wear around the house, great. If you're productive doing that, awesome. But sometimes when we wear those things, we do feel slouchy. We do feel unproductive. We do have pity for ourselves. We do start to scroll on social media and get caught in the comparison. And comparison is the biggest killer of confidence. So you've just got to make that choice and be honest with yourself. Why am I putting this on? Am I doing this to set myself up for success? Or am I trying to feed my negativity and how I'm feeling about myself at the moment? Because the time it takes to change that negative thought to a positive one to feel quick is a split second. It is literally a choice in that moment. And clothes are literally that vehicle to help us align with how we maybe want to feel rather than feeding the negative feelings we may be feeling at the time.
Yeah. And one of the things I'm fascinated about is obviously our bodies change so much when we have a baby, right? Many men just don't, probably will never be able to relate in many ways, not to just discriminate against that. But, you know, we change so much. I mean, and there's so much work to kind of in our mind, we have to get back to what we were before. You know, what is that, you know, what is your advice to women that are, like you said, you know, my arm's too fat, my tummy's too fat, I can't fit into that anymore. I mean, what kind of advice are you giving to those mums? Like, I know myself, like I would try my old wardrobe back on and be like, no, there's just no hope. Do you know? I mean, now I might be able to squeeze into one or two of them with any luck, but you know, we're 10 years on now. But you know, what is your advice to that new mum whose body has changed? They've got to deal with it. Like, what's your advice to her if she was listening to this right now?
Well, I'll give you a very real story. In my pregnancy, I put on 22 kilos. There was quite a few things going on. I found a new relationship with sugar in my pregnancy, which sort of added to that as well. Now, I lost only 10 kilos of that when I had my baby, and a friend of mine in Queensland went straight back to her weight before. She didn't put much weight on and lost it straight away. So that was actually hard for me. I had to really keep myself in check about the comparison game there. But also in my world, it was very new for me. And still now, I'm still carrying that weight. It is very new for me to dress my body as this new body. So I had those stories come up. It was there's too much around here. I've got too much fat. I need to get into the gym. I need to do this. I need to do that. But when we're in that pressure, we can't make change. Mm. So, yes, you may need to go through the wardrobe, as I did, to take out those things that just don't fit anymore, to make it a happy space for me to get ready in the day. But also you need to be kind. It's really cliche, but you need to be kind to you. And when we come back to our body, such as going to jump in the ocean and go for a swim, and we reinforce that we can do hard things, and we're back into our body of like, oh, nothing matters. When you look at your baby and you're completely present, nothing matters. And we just need to remember that it's a journey. This body has created a human being. Every body is different. And you may need to get some help into looking at different cuts and styles. Or simply use that tip number 3 and go shopping without that credit card to allow yourself to try on different things, different styles, different cuts, to explore this new body and have fun with it and really keep in check what I call the little gremlin in your mind that is constantly criticizing you. And remember that every store is a different size. I have this quote that it's not your body, it's your clothes. Mm-hmm. So stop critiquing your body. That's the problem when it's not. It's the clothes that you're putting on your body. In my wardrobe, even now, I wear sizes from size 8 to 12. It doesn't mean anything about me. They're just numbers and they're just letters. It's about finding a style, finding clothes that fit, that you feel comfortable in, that you feel amazing in, that you feel connected to have in your wardrobe. So then you can just show up in life.
Do you know, and the funny thing, I mean, of all the times I've met you and we've talked online, I mean, you always look amazing. Do you know, even when I met you in Perth, and I mean, I think Brooklyn was only a couple of weeks. I mean, and a couple of weeks old, or what, you were eight then? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think we just passed the Rocky stage. I mean,
all I remember was thinking, my goodness, how does she look so amazing? She just had this baby and she looks fantastic. And, you know, as you said, you know, when you've put yourself together, I mean, the outside world is looking at you like you've got your life so together. You know, you look amazing, what have you. I suppose it's kind of all those bits that, you know, you're working on internally to kind of portray to the world that, you know, everything's good. But, you know, in terms of, you know, balancing that kind of the day-to-day demands of parenting or being a new mum, and perhaps that, you know, as you start to think about going into work and that very nervous time of having to perhaps go for a job interview or something, which scares the pants out of anybody before or after having babies, you know, what would you say to a new mum that's kind of in that journey right now? I mean, what are the confidence tips you'd give, but perhaps even some practical kind of fashion tips? Because that would be really useful for, I'm sure, a lot of moms to know.
Yeah. I think a really big thing to remember, and I could really talk about this for a very long time, but the thing about comparison, when we look at another woman and we go, she just looks amazing, she has it all together. Like, how does she have two babies at home and go to work? We use going back to work because this is what it's about. And you may be admiring her, right? There's an admiring her, and then you compare it to yourself, which puts you in a spiral of negativity. Mm-hmm. If you just stop there and look at how you admire somebody, we're all mirrors. So if you see something amazing in another mum going back to work, you have that too. You just need to find that, but remember that you have that.
Yes.
Because we're all mirrors everywhere around, everyone around us. Any person that we judge for good or for bad, it's in us too. And that's why we see that. So I think remembering that is really important. But when it comes to the wardrobe and looking at some staples, understand whether you're a pants girl or you're a dress girl or you're a skirt girl.
Oh, yes. I definitely figured out I'm a dress girl. I've got pants on today and I realize I just don't like myself in them at all.
There
going
you go.
Back to the dress.
Yeah. And everyone's different in that sense. And when you can understand that, you know, we'll just work with pants, because it is quite common to wear to work. Majority of women actually do prefer pants. They actually struggle to get into dresses because of the work that needs to be done on the femininity and that softer side of them. So a lot of women are more into a masculine side and especially when we're getting back to work as well. So we'll look at pants. So for example, you could have two pairs of pants, two tops and two blazers. Now in that you would get, you know, a variety of 1, 2, 3, 4, you'd have about 10 to 12 different looks just with those items. So you can really start small, and that's talking about going out and buying something new. Also that the shops have so many sales, you could really buy all of that for under $500. Mm. So, and you could go even less than that depending on where you shop. So I think there are a couple of things to really remember when it comes to getting back into the workforce. You know, the tips from before about how to set your bedroom up or your wardrobe up for success, and then what additions you might need, which is part of a mindset, but the second part is also maybe buying some new things.
I love it. Fantastic. Lacey, honestly, every time I talk to you, I just walk away kind of inspired and like thinking, oh, well, I'm not comparing myself, but I do admire your, every time I look at your style is phenomenal. And I cannot wait to take more of this advice to mums and around the place, because I just think it's so critical. You know, like you said, when you feel good, you make better decisions, you approach the world in an entirely different way. And that, not to say you have to lose all that, you know, bub weight or anything like that. It's just like you said, putting the things that make you glow and shine. I mean, that's just such a beautiful way of putting it. I'm not sure if that was the exact language you used, but, you know, really was, really sort of resonated with me. But tell me this.
Can I just say as well on that, is it's about also opening this conversation about getting back to our air quotes pre-baby body. Pre-baby body actually doesn't exist. Although, like I said, my friend in Queensland, she weight-wise got air quotes back to that weight. Her body had still changed.
I love air quotes.
Well, it's like her body had still changed. The hips were still wider. And that's something that I really the conversations I do really want to change, because you see it so much. Oh, I can't wait to get to my back to my pre-baby body. It's not going to happen. And why would we go back in time when we're in this new beautiful place in the future?
That's so true. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think that, whether you have children or not, right? I mean, our bodies are changing, and we don't put men under the same spotlight, do we? When they start to get the dad bod and the belly and things, do we? I mean,
no.
We could get into their wardrobes too. That was another conversation for another day, because I do want to talk about dads in this conversation as well at some point, but we'll pick that up for another chat. But Lacey, thank you again for your time today. I just wanted to finish off by giving our listeners perhaps a place where they can go and get some more information about what we talked about today, or where they can get in contact with you if they want to have a chat about, you know, getting back into the workforce or just feeling better about themselves. How can they connect with you?
Yes, I would love that. I do work with women worldwide, which is really exciting. Obviously, in times of COVID, I pivoted everything, which allows me to wardrobe audit, to shop with clients, all just being at home. So my Instagram is at I'm Your Go-To Girl. So it's a little bit confusing. And I do have a podcast showing up in Style, which is great. I've got two seasons there, and a third season's about to come up, which is me interviewing other mums in business that sharing their experience, sharing their challenge to really start normalizing how we feel as mums trying to get into the workforce or have our own business, and the emotions that we have along the way. And also on Instagram, I have a Monday show, which you were a part of which is great. Monday Mama Biz Chats. And it's just some really great resources on my social media from all these amazing women that I've spoken to, plus obviously the content I create myself as well. So I really do believe in creating a lot of free resources where I can.
That's fantastic. And yes, I do remember when we had that chat on the Monday show, and I got on there having late, not knowing how to work the Instagram live, and then also my children in the background not having to put any makeup on, and you look so glamorous. I was like, oh my gosh. But anyway, we got through it. It was fine. But
yes, I will say on that note, you know, just to reinforce this comparison game that we can play is, you know, you shared the story about when you saw me at that event in Perth and how glamorous I'd looked. And, you know, and I was definitely feeling that because I had these tools, but also I saw the exact same in you when I said that to you. I came up and said that to you at the end on how like amazing you looked having all of these kids running this event interstate and all, you know, having all this team there. So, you know, it really does prove that, you know, what we see in somebody else, we do have the quality in ourselves. So I just wanted to reinforce that one as well.
Oh, well, that was a great event, and a dress and pink, the two things I'll be making sure my wardrobe's full of going
for. Yeah.
But Lacey, thanks so much again. And for everyone listening, for more information, obviously pop on to Lacey's Instagram page, and we'll also be posting additional information on our website. So come and visit us there, www.thelittleoatcompany.com. And everyone, thanks again for your time. And Lacey, thanks, so great to see you again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.